Brothers Murph Battle Royale. Christmas movies this winter shall determine which movie's on top. The favorite of Santa's workshop,
the ultimate podcast pits. Elf against Claus, Scrooge against Hobbs.
Will Ralphie come on top with Christmas story?
Will George Bailey step in to steal the glory?
Murph against Murph, tune in to see. You'll have to hear who it will be.
Murph against Murph, tune in to see. You'll have to hear who it will be.
Murph against Murph,
punching people in the face. This is a Christmas must be.
Woo! Oh my god.
Boom, baby. I am messing around today. Quarterfinals. I wasn't even tuned in, but the semifinals are here, and I'm ready to battle. How about you guys?
Oh, I'm here.
So oh, ready. Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm alive. We're here. We're festive. Deal with it. Welcome to the Brothers Murph Battle Royale Christmas Edition semifinal, baby.
Semifinal.
Yeah. All of your films right are about to die hard.
Oh, snap. Already with the punnies. Okay, guys. Welcome. I am Michael Lee Murphy.
I am Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
And Dylan White.
And Dylan White over there from DC, beaming in across the interwebs for our entertainment.
The District of Columbia.
Guys, we are ready to get deeper, go deeper into this Christmas. Okay. I'm feeling the spirit. I'm ready to argue. I'm ready to battle.
Mike's wearing a pretty awesome Christmas sweater right
now. I am.
Now.
I'm wearing my armor, man. I'm ready to rock. I'm not messing around. Plus, it's chilly in here. So, there's that. So, guys, the last 2 weeks, we've been enjoying some raucous quarterfinal rounds. We had 8 movies. We have 4 now. In week 1, let's see, we battled with Hebrew Hammer, which I'm so sad I didn't make it. We had Christmas Story, The Santa Claus, and Love Actually. In the second week, we had Elf. We had, what else? Die Hard. We had Scrooge. And we had It's a Wonderful Life, which has been cast away. It's been knocked off. It's been shunned.
I'm so sad about
and
that.
And we have 4 movies left. I know, me too. But hey, there can only, you know,
there
be 4 movies.
There can only be one.
There can be only one.
At the end. Right now, we have 4. There will be one.
There can be only
two and the final. It's a, you know, it's an ever dwindling number. You see how it works. It's a tournament.
Is it bracket tournament? They start on the sides as it gets smaller.
It's closer to the metal.
The ratio of teams.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of money in this, just like the NCAA. Like, yeah, exactly. So, guys, for our semifinal, we have pretty solid movies. We have Elf. We've got The Santa Claus. We've got Scrooge.
Woo.
And we have Die Hard.
It's still here.
Die Hard is still here. It's the movie that just wouldn't die.
We weren't hard enough on it.
We weren't hard enough on it.
Oh, my God.
But
for it to die, Casey.
It's going to be this whole podcast. Yeah.
We're not messing around this week. We're going to do our best to knock each other off because we can't go into the final with 4 movies. That'd be insane. So it's going to be a battle. Now, we in the last 2 weeks, had a grading rubric, which is still available on all our social medias to check out. You guys can grade your Christmas movies from now to the end of time with our very awesome rubric. Well, we want to kind of open it up a little bit. We want to broaden. We want to talk a little bit more about, is this a good movie? Is this a good Christmas movie, or are the movies that we've selected good movies? We want to talk about the overall quality of the film, the acting, the performances, the production value.
Like, is it good because you watched it as a kid and like you watch it again, you're like, oh, this isn't all that good.
Like, Three Ninjas sucked ass.
Yeah.
But it's, you know.
Like, Jingle All the Way. I still watch that all the time. It's not very good, guys.
Not on our list.
Not on the list.
Will be next year.
So, yeah, is it
Phil
a good...
Hartman's super weird in that movie.
Yeah. So,
okay,
is it
weird in every movie?
All right, Pete. Love you. Great.
So, is it just a good nostalgic movie?
Sinbad is super weird in that movie as well.
Yeah, everyone is. Is it a good just Christmas movie or nostalgic movie? Or is it a solid movie? Like, is the foundation sound? So we want to talk about the quality. And then we also want to talk about kind of the longevity of the movie, its legacy. You know, has it had an effect on our culture? Has it, you know, resonated with the people? Has it inspired movies? Did it pull from movies of the past and helped inspire it? Did it create a movement of some kind? You know, how has this movie shaped us? Which I think is Christmassy in itself. So those are going to be kind of the two areas that we focus on. So I think Unless I've skipped something because I've gotten a little overexcited in the past.
No, I think that's it.
Then I say let's get right into it, you guys. Let's talk about the quality of these films.
All
right,
so first thing I think we should talk about with the quality is let's break it to, like, again, objective thing. Like, did your movie do well? Like, let's talk about financial success real quick.
Was,
like,
it well-received?
Like, was it well-received? Because it's like a Wizard of Oz.
I would like to skip this section.
Nope. Because four people have seen Casey's movie.
Yeah.
And so,
mostly people in her family.
So yeah, so let's leave Casey to last because it'll be funny.
No, I should go first because I literally have nothing to say. There is no financial information about my film online.
It was like a TV movie? What was it?
No, it was wide released.
It just made that little of a splash.
There's just there's nothing. It's on. I looked on Box Office Mojo, IMDb. I googled it. There's no indicator of the money
seven
that this
pounds.
Movie made.
It made 7 pounds. Okay, cool. Yeah. Mike, how much movie did you make?
So my movie.
Oh,
was...
and by the way, my movie is Scrooge. If that Scrooge. Wasn't clear.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From 1970.
Good call.
So Casey's movie is Scrooge, which is the Albert Finney musicalized version of A Christmas Carol.
Yes,
it's great. And that's partially that it's an older movie, so there just wasn't as much data.
No, hold on, hold on. No, no, there's plenty of data on older movies.
I know, I was about
to
say
that. Well, I know,
but
this movie didn't not make any money. It was released in wide release. It just is not online.
They don't have data on old movies. They just say, like, well, if you adjust for inflation, Gone with the Wind is still the most successful movie of all time.
Why are you arguing for her movie?
I'm not. I'm just saying that, like, there's not as much data. We don't have IMDb. Going back to the 20s and stuff.
I got data.
So anyway, my movie, The Santa Claus, was made on a budget of $22 million. Pretty reasonable. Not tiny, but it's a raucous adventure of a film. But it grossed $144 million domestically, $189 worldwide.
That's good.
Back
in
94.
That's a good ROI.
So it's definitely was successful financially.
I do want to say that I can guarantee my movie was the lowest budget of all your guys' movies.
That's true.
Would say that's definitely true.
We probably made a lot on that budget. I'm just putting that out there. Okay.
It's easy when everyone in the movie but one guy is, like, super poor. And even his house kind of sucks, which is weird.
Well, it's Victorian England.
Yeah, Scrooge is not a rich man, is my takeaway from that movie.
Well, that's the point. He becomes one. Anyway, we'll go.
With a golden goose on Christmas Day or whatever.
So, Dylan, what about Die Hard? How'd it do? Box office-wise?
Die Hard did great. I mean, it had a production budget of $28 million.
Okay.
Which is insane when you think about that. Like, how much they do on $28
million. 25 of that, $25 million must have been explosions. Like,
oh, yeah.
There's so many explosions.
Helicopter battles. Yeah,
breakaway
totally.
Glass. There's a lot of breakaway glass in that movie. Yeah. How much did it make? I mean, it did well, right?
Yes, it made $83 million domestic, and it made $140 million worldwide.
Wow,
not bad.
That's an 88.
Back in 88. Well. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So big international draw for John McClane. That makes sense.
Yeah.
How about Elf?
Elf did well. It cost $33 million to make, which is actually still pretty low. I mean, I guess it's not a high budget movie if you think about it. It's not like there's big effects or anything like that.
No.
But yeah, it made $173 million domestic. And so, and then total, what was it? And then I think it made about 75 or so worldwide. So it didn't do quite as good worldwide, but compared to its budget, it did really, really well.
Probably the best of all of ours.
Definitely. It's the highest grossing. You know, and with your guys', we'd have to adjust and stuff. But solid. These are all financially solid.
They all did well.
Films. They all did well.
Scrooge is a mystery. Let's just assume it did great.
Okay. You can go ahead and do that. Yeah, that sounds great.
Certain counties.
Because Casey, I'm pretty sure Casey's family, her father worked in film. I think they made the movie. And it's like a family movie.
Yeah, my dad was 15 and made that movie.
I don't know.
So, he would have wanted to.
Yeah.
He loves that movie. These are all financially successful films. Are these actually good movies? What do you think of their production value, the acting quality, the directorial choices? I mean.
Okay, I have things to say now.
Okay.
Back in.
There's no financial success to speak on, but this you can.
No success in general in the movie.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Well, how many of you guys had any Oscar nominations for your films?
I do.
7.
Boom. Dilly, Die Hard is never going to go away. Okay. So go ahead. Oscars. Everyone loves the Oscars.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and granted, I don't want to say that the Oscars are the end all be all of what makes a movie quality.
No, of course not. Thank you.
But my movie was nominated for 4 different Oscars for art direction, costume design, original song, and original score.
Okay.
Which I touched on in great length in our first quarterfinal about how wonderful the score was.
Sure.
Or the second.
You hope in a musical that it had good music.
It is musical. So 4 Oscar nominations, a bunch of Golden Globe nominations. And okay. I'm sorry, how many of your leads won any major awards?
Okay. For that specific project?
For this specific project.
Okay.
Bruce Willis won the award in my heart.
Boom.
Albert Finney won the Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy or Musical that year.
Will Ferrell was nominated for a Teen Choice Award for Elf.
Bam.
Boom.
Okay. So
I mean,
there's that.
But so Albert Finney gave the performance of a lifetime and won the Golden Globe because of it. So
okay. Not everyone in that movie was that great.
Well, tell me who wasn't, because I got all the figures about them.
That bad-eyed kid that comes down the ladder with
him. No, I'm sorry. I just going off the performances of the people, I do like the movie a lot, and it was introduced to us from Casey. And I like the movie a lot. But I'm sorry, I am not as entranced or enchanted with Alec Guinness as you guys are in that movie.
Why are you guys in it? Why are you lumping us all in?
Because you...
He has a delightfully wacky, like, floaty performance.
He's literally floating around.
What Nick is saying, Alec Guinness, a.k.a. motherfucking Obi-Wan Kenobi, plays Marley in...
Yeah, he plays Jacob Marley.
Jacob Marley in this version of the lightsaber.
And he comes in, and he's, really like, weird. Got this, like, weird rat tail thing. And he comes in, and he's just, like, skipping and floating around like a wine-drunk housewife on a Tuesday afternoon. And he does these, like, weird – every time he leaves a room, he, like, leaves his hand in the room and does this weird,
like,
creepy
thing.
It's horrible.
Thing.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't particularly think he's good in this movie. Albert Finney's great. Everyone else, I think, is really, really good.
Yeah, he's the most prestigious actor in any of our movies. How dare you?
Motherfucking
sorry, Alec Guinness is not great.
I think Alec Guinness won and was nominated a lot more times than I love Alan Rickman. Do not get me started on how much I love Alan Rickman. But
Casey, are you trying to argue against Snape right now?
I've never been a Snape fan. We can have that conversation offline. But Alec Guinness was nominated for Oscars 6 different times and won an Oscar.
That has nothing to do with this movie.
This might have been the dark point in that career. The movie he wished he could have just been wine drunk.
He's like a wine drunk.
Everybody, you guys should Google Scrooge, because all the critics agree that Alec Guinness is one of the highlights of the film.
No,
Casey, Laurence Olivier also won numerous Oscars, and his last movie is The Jazz Singer, which was terrible. Like. Just because he wins Oscars doesn't necessarily mean that his performance is great in everything.
And I understand. I agree with that. But his performance in this film is an unforgettable Marley that is different than every other Jacob Marley that's ever existed. He's basically a gay Marley in this movie.
That is true.
I kind of dig it
for its wackiness, but
it's
similar.
Quirky.
I'm going to discredit myself for my own sake. It's also similar to how I enjoy Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal of Lex Luthor in Batman vs. Superman, because it's wacky as fuck. It doesn't necessarily make sense. It doesn't necessarily serve any purpose other than making me giggle. So I don't know if it's that. And okay, here's the other thing about Scrooge real quick. You have Albert Finney, who is great. I won't try to argue against that.
No, neither do I.
You have Alec Guinness, who comes in for 5 minutes, is very wacky. And then you have nobody.
You have people.
Absolutely. Nobody.
You had very, nobody very else. Accomplished British actors of the time. So you have,
yeah,
you have,
yeah, and they all get to come in and be like, "Scrooge, can I have some money?" And he's just
"Wait, how many of you like Doctor Who out there?"
Hamburg.
Because David Collins, who played Bob Cratchit, was in the original Doctor Who,
Hamburg.
And the Dark Tower series, both cult faves. So I'm guaranteeing our listeners will relate to that. And Edith Evans, Ghost of Christmas Past, again, Oscar nominee, Golden Globe winner. Just a really critically acclaimed actress. So you guys just don't know your cinema history, and okay. I'm sorry for you.
Okay,
that's MTV right. Movie Award nomination.
Here's Boom. The thing. Nick's talking about nominations. I'm going to talk to you about a victory real quick. Home Improvement was a humongous success.
That's true.
And they took that and just folded it right into an amazing film called The Santa Claus, which is what I'm talking about. Now, this movie won an award, the People's Choice Award for Best Comedy in 1994, and that is the People's Choice. Thank you very much. He Made America Great Again. And that's what the people wanted. What? That's what the people got. So the Santa Claus gets the only award that matters. The Academy Awards, you get nominated as a bunch of crusty old white dudes. That ain't the people. That's a 1%. Mine got the 99. Thank you.
That's a good argument.
Just saying.
I would not argue that it's not a delightful movie. I'm just...
And I really like Scrooge,
the,
too.
The caliber of the acting quality. I mean, how do you measure other than... You know, how can you measure somebody's acting ability? Bunch of awards.
Yeah, no, I can definitely measure his ability. Tim Allen is so, again, I talked about they wrote it with Bill Murray in mind. They almost had Chevy Chase. Thank God they didn't get those guys. Yeah. Tim Allen does such a good job of taking what's on the page and rolling his own charisma and shtick and style right into another iconic role. Again, he's different than Tim the Toolman Taylor, but there's a little bit of Tim the Toolman Taylor, so it's honest and true to Tim Allen while being universal to all. I mean, who can't root for that guy, you know?
Tim Allen's great. We all agree Albert Finney's great, but you're Mr. Oh, who's in Scrooge besides Albert Finney and Alec Guinness? Who's in the Santa Claus besides Tim Allen and Judge Reinhold?
Judge MF and Reinhold.
Yeah, okay. There's nobody in that movie.
And that's not even like that. Alec Guinness is a bigger thing than Judge Reinhold.
Yeah.
Judge Reinhold. And that kid, I understand he's a kid.
He's amazing.
He's good. Charlie's good.
Charlie's great.
I kind of agree.
I kind of agree.
Calvin, when he says he's great. For kid actors, he's not as bad as it gets.
No, that's what I'm saying. And I understand he's a kid actor, but I don't know.
Okay. I'm just saying the argument that, oh, who's in your movie? Blah, blah, blah. The only movie here that has great people is Nick's Through and Through. Elf has the best cast from top to bottom.
From top to bottom,
Elf has the best cast. We can all agree.
So Nick wins. I can go. All right, cool guys. No. Thanks. My head out.
I'm just saying that in terms of popularity and in terms of people who are in it, but is popularity the end deciding factor? I don't think so. I think you've got to take into account.
Sure is.
You know how much their peers acclaim them.
Yeah, on that topic of how much do their peers acclaim them? Did any of your movies win the Academy Award for Best Foreign Language Film? Because mine did.
What?
Yes. Now, it does happen to be...
That's the award you were nominated for? Oh my god, that's garbage.
Is that because there's like four dudes who say like gibberish German? How does that work?
It does happen to be the Japanese Academy Awards. It won the award for Best Foreign Language Film.
That's kind of awesome.
Makes sense.
That's kind of awesome, not gonna lie.
Wow, that is impressive. Mm-hmm. That is impressive. Okay, guys.
The quality of Die Hard is great, but I'm just going to say this because I watched it for the first time. It is not a Christmas movie. You guys can argue with me, but there are way too many boobs in that movie for it to count as a Christmas movie.
There are two.
I'm sorry, Casey. Try to be open and embracing to other people's Christmases and how
let's talk about that because Die Hard isn't open and embracing to other people's Christmases. Literally, a guy is like, "Do they even celebrate Christmas in Japan?" in the movie, and I googled it, and yeah, they hella do. So that guy's just super not inclusive.
Yeah, that doesn't look great.
Hey, the Japanese disagreed with you and they gave it the award for Best Foreign Language Film.
Yeah, because they probably changed what they were saying in English because they were like, that's offensive to Japanese people. We do celebrate Christmas.
You guys celebrate Christmas.
Like, so, yes. No, I mean, Die Hard, it has great, I mean, Bruce Willis is great and Alan Rickman is great. But, like, who else is in that movie?
Pal. Motherfucking Pal, dude. Matters ever heard of it?
And then the guy, the principal from the Breakfast Club.
Yep.
He's like the other cop. Yep. Yeah, the douchey reporters and a lot of stuff.
Yep.
The principal from the Breakfast Club is like less impressive than Judge Reinhold.
I'm not saying he's impressive. I'm just naming other people.
You don't come after the judge.
Guys, and Powell is an asshole character anyway.
Die Hard doesn't need any other big stars. Die Hard is an intimate drama between Bruce Willis and Alan Rickman playing a cat and mouse game. You know, the most amazing thing about these movies, I mean, we're talking about the stars, and the stars are great, but some of the best movies are made by casting unknown actors and then just inhabiting the roles. One of the things that we forget, actually, is that Alan Rickman was an unknown actor at this point, and that is the movie that made him.
That is true, and he deserved to be made after a performance like that. But you're still, what you're doing is you're just skirting the fact that It's not a Christmas movie. It's a great movie.
Nope. You just called it a cat and mouse drama. Yeah. You did not say the word Christmas once in describing Die Hard.
Tournament. That's in August.
Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. And I'm sorry, I thought we were just talking about the technical quality of the movie right now. But if you want me to get into the Christmassy nature of Die Hard.
We will in 1 minute. We will get there in 1 minute.
Can we all agree, though, that Powell is kind of a jerk
at the end of the movie? Like, what are you talking about?
Because at the end of the movie...
He's a lovable cop.
At the end of the movie, they've had this, like, radio conferencing the whole time. And then John McClane is, like, beat up, tore up, and he comes down with his wife. And Powell just stands there looking at him and makes John McClane, who literally has glass in the bottom of his feet, walk all the way to him at the end of the movie like a jerk.
You know what?
He kind of just does stoically stare at him the entire time.
John McClane walks because for the first time he's finally free, and he can.
Is this movie about freedom now, Dylan?
John McClane is a celebratory hero that has finally escaped and saved the day and brought his family back together.
You know what he didn't save Christmas.
Yeah,
he saved the day.
Yeah,
that's not a good Christmas.
That's a good point.
What, okay, so we've all talked about the actors in our movies, but...
I haven't, but there's a billion people in my movie. Elf, I don't even need to talk about it.
Yeah, he does have a lot of people. Yeah,
you do.
But...
Yeah. James Caan.
Yeah,
Nick... That's one person. That's
Nick is undeniable in the movie. The people are in his movie. But do you know who's in your movie? Because you just yelled James Caan and acted like that was...
That's all. No one else is in it.
There's so many people in that movie.
Emily Deschanel. It's Zoe. Testing you guys.
Also has Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, Peter Dinklage, Will Ferrell, John Favreau, that one kid.
Bob Newhart.
Bob fucking Newhart. Ed Asner.
Ed Asner. James Caan's wife, whose name I can't remember right now.
Mary Steenburgen. Dude, why are we arguing your movie for you?
Oh my God. Knew that was Scrooge earlier.
Nick did no research. Doesn't even know Mary Steenburgen's name. Wow, guys. See how much he cares about this podcast.
It's true. No, I love this podcast.
Nick is employing a very subtle tactic, which is causing us to argue his movie for him.
I know. Yeah, you're tricking
us. Don't
fall
for it, guys. Yeah.
I'm just assuming that I won, and I'm going to let you guys do all my work for me.
All right.
Okay. Well, okay. So we're talking, just on this note, before we leave the quality piece, Albert Finney, we all agree, amazing as Scrooge. Probably, yes. I think personally the best performance of Scrooge portrayed on screen. But how many of your guys' people in life was offered a knighthood? Like the queen came to them and was like, you are so amazing that we're going to knight you. Right? No? Nobody?
Alan Rickman.
Not a one?
Does not apply.
He's not Sir Alan Rickman. I'm sorry. That's so sad for you. Oh. But how many of your people turned down a knighthood? Albert Finney was offered a knighthood and then turned it down because he said it perpetuated snobbery because he's the bomb.
That is pretty choice.
That's cool.
But he didn't do that on set of Scrooge, so it does not apply.
Whatever.
Like, nor did he do it that on Christmas people.
He's in so many good movies and he's so underrated and he should win everything.
Albert Finney's cool, man.
He's great. So quality. Can we all just agree that all of our movies are pretty darn high quality?
Dude, the Santa Claus creates an amazing, beautiful world. We get in-depth in the North Pole like we had never seen before, like really going into getting all them reindeer and stuff, showing like the inner workings of the structure of the elves and everything and seeing their workflow. It's good. You wouldn't have that now if you didn't have it in Santa Claus.
I don't really know about that because while rewatching the Santa Claus, I realized that a lot of the effects that I thought were great when I was a child actually look kind of terrible.
There's a couple that are rough, but it's pretty damn good for 1994.
The Reindeer and the Slayer are pretty rough, but that's kind of a good point, Dylan, where it's like, it was of the time. Like, I wouldn't... Some of the wire work in Scrooge isn't all that great, but I'm like, but again, it's in the 70s. Like,
yeah.
It's
like, right, exactly. Yeah.
It's not Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
If that movie came out last year, I'd be like, ooh, that's rough. But 94, it's okay. But there's some shots where you're like, ooh, they were just figuring out how to use that technology, clearly.
Mike and Mike's movies have the highest Rotten Tomatoes ratings. 75% for each. Just
bam!
Saying.
Higher than Elf, which everyone tries to just spawn over.
Yeah, they really do.
Rotten Tomatoes means nothing at all. It's just about like how many critics like your movies, not even about the quality itself. They could kind of like the movies and account for something.
Just saying, it's generally well-received. Okay, guys, so
can we talk about how kind of crappy the music is in Scrooge? like the like the songs and everything like that.
What, the Oscar nominated songs?
Yeah, fight, the ones bro. That like the people can't even really sing properly. There.
Brothers Murph out.
Oh my God, Dylan. What are you saying? This is the same man who wrote Pure Imagination.
Who wrote this?
Leslie Briscoe. We talked about it in the quarterfinals. He wrote all the songs for Willy Wonka, and you're going to try to argue that they're bad songs in Scrooge?
Yeah,
everyone
I mean,
listen
like,
for yourselves.
I like Willy Wonka, but the songs in this are just kind of forgettable for the most part. Like, I can't even... I just watched it yesterday, and I can't name a single song in it.
Thank you very much. I'm sure you could name that song.
Thank you very much.
My movies has the only song that is in a Disneyland parade. It is in the holiday parade every year at Disneyland. Sing a Christmas Carol. That's in the Disneyland parade every year. That's a memorable ass song.
Parade.
I'm sorry for you. That's so sad. But no one can argue that these songs are incredible. A song about I like life, and it just there's a song for everybody. Because if you hate people, there's a little song called I Hate People. That was my sister's theme song growing up. She hated everybody and just walked around going, I hate people. But me, lover of people and things, sings I like life. Life likes me. It's there's those songs. There's a beautiful song that Isabel sings about happiness. Mm-hmm. Just a gorgeous song and beautifully sung. Albert Finney gets to sing some stuff, which is cool. He's not a singer, but he gets to sing.
He's definitely not a singer, though.
Yeah, but he is Daddy Warbucks. So let's not forget that he has been in many musicals. And we got Tom Jenkins in the movie singing "Thank You Very Much," dancing on coffins. Just a revelrous
a
time. Yeah. Yeah. It's about a lot of dark humor in this movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, they and then they reprise it all at the end, and they're actually thanking him. I would like the people to listen to the music on their own and make their decision.
We'll post a couple jams.
We can post some songs.
We'll post some jams.
But, let's just say Leslie Briscoe, who wrote the music to this, was another great Christmas movie we all love, Home Alone. Lots of songs from him in Home Alone. So, I'm sorry. How many of your guys has had songs in other Christmas movies? Zero. Thank you. Try to argue with me about the music to this movie again. It's so good.
Okay. I mean, if you think about it, Die Hard kind of has music. The rat-a-tat of, like, Little Drummer Boy and gun fire.
I won't argue. Die Hard, to me, has the best opening song of all our movies. Because the Christmas movie that they open with is the Run DMC song Christmas Is.
Yes.
And it's amazing. I'm not going to argue that the music's bad in any of our movies.
Yeah, it's all good.
I freaking love that. Get out your dough, it's Christmas, yo. I mean, that's a great song.
True.
I love that they play that.
It ends on Let It Snow, so it's pretty, it bookends well.
Okay. I'm conciliatory with your guys' movies. I just have a very strong passion about the music in mine.
Fair enough. Okay, guys, let's move on.
Albert Finney still can't sing. At all.
Neither can Rex Harrison, and he's beloved by the theater community. Moving on.
That is fair. Okay, so let's go. Let's talk a little bit about the longevity, the cultural impact. We talked about these movies have won awards. They have, you know, whatever freshness ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. But have they made an impact? Did they leave a mark?
Yeah, because ultimately, like, again, how well they're received on, like, online Rotten Tomatoes stuff.
Sure.
Again, in the end, doesn't mean anything if, like, the people don't really like it.
Absolutely. So did your movies make a splash? Is it something that we've seen the reverberations of this movie? Have they influenced movies going forward in time? You know, are these stories something that we care to talk about and retell? Or have they been forgotten about?
I think so. I think Elf is kind of tough because it's the newest movie of them all.
Yeah.
And so in terms of longevity, I mean, I can speculate. I think Elf is going to be around for a long time. It's considered a modern classic. Mm-hmm. And so I can assume that it's going to be around for a long time, but I can't really definitively say.
On this note, I mean, Scrooge, my movie, and Nick's movie are the only two that have been made into Broadway musicals.
That's true. It was made. So talking about, like, the cultural impact, because I think that's one of the big things with longevity.
I mean,
the
other,
like,
people want to see this story in other formats.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So again, like, yeah, mine was also made into a Broadway musical in 2010. But also, like, cultural impact, I mean, again, I we can't really see the longevity because it hasn't been out for that long, but I really feel that Elf is a real cultural hit, at least with our generation. I mean, I really do think it's our generation's Christmas movie at this point. Because one, I've heard many people say that, like, Elf is, because a lot of Christmas movies, like I love every, well, Die Hard is different because it's not a Christmas movie. But,
right, we've all the same. Oh, it absolutely is a Christmas movie.
But like, say like Scrooge or the Santa Claus, like I love both those movies, but like I probably would never watch those movies outside of Christmas time. Just because like they're Christmas movies, I watch them around Christmas time.
I watch the Santa Clauses every July.
But Elf, I have and would watch outside of Christmas time because I like it that much as a movie itself. And I've heard many people actually say that, like Elf is a movie I will watch even when it's not Christmas. And also something, a meme that pops up, I would say probably at least once a month. I always see it on Facebook and it always makes me laugh, but it's a picture of Buddy the Elf, Will Ferrell as Buddy the Elf. And it's however many weeks until Christmas. And so it's always, someone always posts it like once a month. It's like 46 weeks until Christmas. And like, that to me shows the cultural impact that like he shows up in memes, even in like the middle of the spring and the middle of the summer and stuff like that. People use Buddy the Elf. Yeah. They don't use Scrooge.
That's an interesting way to look at
it. No, because I really think that like, again, like the cultural impact talking about that, it's like he pops up constantly. A lot of times when people show things about Christmas and stuff, you see Buddy the Elf pop up because he's such an iconic character at this point because he's so pure, you know, he's so...
And it's probably, I mean, I think all your guys's, everybody's movie is very quotable. And I'm probably the only weirdo who quotes Dickens regularly, but Elf is so quotable. Yes. I mean,
but the Elf is favorite color. It's is that right, Mike?
I'm gonna stop you guys right there. Okay.
I've never declawed kittens before.
It is very quotable film, but the whole meme thing I'm going to throw right out the window.
Why? That's like the...
You said it is the newest of our films. Therefore, it is the most firmly planted in the internet age.
Yeah, that's true.
If the Santa Claus came out in 2003, we'd have Santa Claus memes.
No, I don't think that's true.
We'd have memes of like fat Tim Allen like holding his gut and like doing a bunch of stuff on treadmills.
No, because I don't think it's necessarily because I do think that's a fair argument, the fact that it's the newest one. It like... The Albert Finney Scrooge isn't going to pop up in memes because
only if you want to scare children. It's just like, I hate people.
And so like, so I do think that's a fair argument, but I don't think it's just because it was made in the internet era. I think it's because Buddy the Elf is such an iconic character that he's going to live through the ages. Because it's not because the whole like, it's only 48 days and 48 weeks until Christmas. Like Tim Allen Santa Claus wouldn't be that way because he doesn't have that pure high energy that Buddy the Elf does. And so although I think you're partially correct, I don't think that's the reason why he shows up so often.
Who's Santa Claus anyway? Yeah. He's not iconic.
I don't know, Nick. Sounds like a lot of anecdotal evidence that you can't back up with anything. So
I backed up with...
With your thoughts. Great. Let me go ahead. Data. Glad to hear it.
Let me go ahead.
I mean, like, I would say for Nick's point as well, yeah, it's something that, like, maybe hasn't reached the culture yet. But whenever I talk to people, Elf generally is, apart from Die Hard, one of the movies that they name as their favorite Christmas movie of all time.
Sounds like some more anecdotal evidence.
Okay. Here's some portable. Here's some hard fact. I happen to have the only Christmas movie, Dylan, that has sparked its own G-damn franchise. Okay? The Santa Claus is literally a franchise. There are three Santa Claus movies. It's so good that they had... Doesn't matter. Bro, there's been six Die Hard movies in the last 10 years that have been shite, okay? It sparked its own franchise, though. That's the only time we've seen a Christmas movie do that, where it's not remaking a story. There's been multiple Miracle on 34th Street. There's been multiple Christmas Carol retellings. There's such a rich world that they created with the Santa Claus. They had to go further. They had to expand the world. They had to see, like, what else can we get Santa Claus into? Okay,
but the films were worse and worse.
Yeah, see, this is the thing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did the second movie make $139 million?
Yeah, on a $65 million budget.
Santa Claus 3 made $84 million on a $12 million budget.
Okay, Santa Claus 3 made a lot of money. The Santa Claus 2 was made. Why did that movie cost $65 million?
Because they had to get
make.
Aisha Taylor in that. It cost a lot of money.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's like, yes, it did make a franchise, and well, Die Hard did too.
MF and Elf hasn't made nothing.
But here's the thing. They wanted to make another Elf, and they offered Will Ferrell alone $29 million to do it, which is basically the entire budget of the first Elf. They tried to make it a couple years ago, I think in 2013, and he turned it down. You know why? Because he actually does stuff. The reason they keep cranking out Santa Claus is because Tim Allen hasn't done Shi-Heat other than voice Buzz Lightyear in the last 15 years.
Okay, so stop.
So that's why they keep putting out these movies, because he's willing to do it.
Real quick. First of all,
Will Ferrell's like, I'm fucking Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell has one of the worst ROIs in terms of how much he's paid and how much his movies make. There just putting go. It out there.
Okay, stop.
Still makes
exactly. Sense. As many times as Tim Allen has voiced Buzz Lightyear, he has played Scott Calvin. As many times as there's been a Toy Story, there's been a Santa Claus. That's not an accident. That's on purpose. That's because he's that good. He carries that whole franchise. And I'm sorry, did he not have Home Improvement and have this movie come out right in the middle of it? Is he not on The Last Man Standing, another show that's been running for 5 years? He's doing that right
now. Wait, what show is
now?
That?
And no one knows.
Last Man Standing. It's been on for 5 years.
I'm saying, if it's not your movie, it doesn't mean
I have literally never heard of that show.
I think it's on ABC.
Yeah.
Cool. So no one watched it.
Great.
But it's a big show.
So yeah, he's not doing anything.
Yeah,
okay,
he's not doing
so he's doing plenty. Yeah, clearly. Thanks.
Yeah, so that's why there's a franchise, because he's still
doing these stuff. Those Santa Claus movies are shit. Like the second and third one are
I like the second one, but again, it's one of those like I like it, but I know it's not a very good movie.
Here's the thing, guys. Let's not forget.
True.
I'm not arguing those movies. I'm arguing
that's
Santa
true.
Claus.
That's true.
No, I don't think those movies bring down the original Santa Claus at all. I don't think that's a fair argument. I just don't think that it's a franchise means that much. There's lots of franchises that are garbage, and that doesn't just because they keep making them doesn't mean that it's
but it
that.
Is interesting that it's the only Christmas movie based franchise. I'm just saying that the Santa Claus
it is the only one.
So rich that it sparked a franchise for better or worse. I'm not saying the second and third one are amazing, but I'm saying that the first one, the one I'm arguing, was good enough that it caused, you know, this franchise to happen.
I think it's more the Disney makes a grip of sequels forever, always, regardless of the quality.
Okay.
Wow, fighting fair words enough. For Disney.
You know what? You watch Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Pocahontas 2 is a terrible movie.
That wasn't wide release. That was straight to video. We all know their straight to video stuff
irrelevant.
Is bad. Come on.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with Christmas. So anyway.
I like Pocahontas 2.
Okay.
That's fair.
Anyway.
It's got good songs.
So I'm just saying, like, to me, and this is just me, you wouldn't have Elf, the most recent modern classic, if you didn't have the Santa Claus. That paved the way for funny, kind of ridiculous Christmas movies that are still wholesome and heartfelt. So I don't think you'd have
that. I'm going to argue on Nick's behalf for a second. I think, in a sense, you're right, but Elf started being created in 1993 before the Santa Claus was released.
Yeah, because they heard the Santa Claus was happening and said, we got to crank something out, and then they didn't get the rest together.
So, I don't know.
Just saying.
And Jim Carrey as Buddy the Elf would be very interesting.
That
would
have been amazing.
I think Will Ferrell would have been better, but it would have been an interesting take.
You know who Jim Carrey, what Christmas movie he did star in that is directly tied to mine, A Christmas Carol? It was great.
That's true.
So, just saying.
That's true.
I mean, you can definitely talk about the
Christmas
Carol.
So let's talk about longevity with Scrooge and then Die Hard now, because we're on ours. So like, Scrooge, like, does it have any, I mean, A Christmas Carol, the story in general, has infinite longevity. We're talking about Scrooge itself. Like,
how
has
it stand?
How can you talk about Scrooge itself without talking about A Christmas Carol, the story it's based on, though? Because, yes, the movie was maybe lost to its time because it is the 1970 musical adaptation that just, you know, I think more people should watch. It's on YouTube. Everyone go watch it.
Yeah.
But we'll link it. It's been lost in time, but A Christmas Carol itself is the most long-lasting Christmas story that has ever been told ever. It has never been out of print since it was first published in 1843. Wow. Never. That's incredible.
I mean, that's true, but this isn't even the best version of A Christmas Carol.
That's totally subjective.
The
first.
Best version is Mickey's Christmas Carol. We all know that.
Well, obviously. So we're talking about the second best.
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Muppet Christmas
There's a
Carol.
Lot of great versions, and I just love the story of A Christmas Carol so much. But, you can't... The Christmas Carol... Firstly, the language is incredible in this movie. I should have talked about this in the quality, but the language of the film is just incredible. But how many of your guys' stories that have been told have literally created words in our vernacular? Scrooge, Bah Humbug, those are words created by the story of Christmas Carol that we all use now. You know, so we've got language creation. We have, it was immediately successful when it came out in the 1800s. It's about just Christmas Carol is, every story has, pulls on a Christmas Carol. Miserly Christmas guys who are anti-Christmas in some way comes from Charles Dickens' story. And mine is just a great version of that. And it's not going to be the kind of story that has a franchise because it's a standalone period piece.
So, I want to see the sequel where Scrooge like straps up and starts like killing anti-Christmas people. And I never got that and I'm really mad.
Starts taking out. You can borrow the machete, I mean, reindeer.
The longevity of this story, it's been told in, I mean, if you look at how many versions of A Christmas Carol exist,
yeah,
it's been made into like over 25 different films.
Yeah, at least.
Okay.
So, in terms of, I mean, there's every version you could think of. So while this version alone might not be the one that everybody goes to, everyone knows the story and could tell you off the top of their head what A Christmas Carol is about.
That's true.
Okay. So the story is iconic, but what you just said is that this version alone is not the one that they're going to.
There is no, if you, every one of us would say a different version of A Christmas Carol. If everybody picked one, every one of us would. Everyone would say, my version is Scrooged. I like the Bill Murray version. My version is the 1951 one with Alistair Sinclair. Like, everyone would pick a different version of, oh, I like a Muppet Christmas Carol. I like a Mickey Christmas. We all have literally said different ones we like the best. So there is no one version that people point to as the best version of this story because they're all great.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough. So, Dylan.
Yes.
Die Hard, we know, is a franchise.
Absolutely.
Yes, we know it's made an impact. We know that it created Alan Rickman. What is its legacy in terms of a Christmas franchise?
Of course. Well, I mean, Die Hard is, think of it as the, I know it's an odd choice for a Christmas franchise. And the truth of the matter is that maybe if it didn't perform as well, we wouldn't even be arguing with it as a Christmas movie. But Die Hard has become a countercultural cult Christmas movie of its time. And if you think about the plot of the story, Die Hard is still very much a Christmas movie. It's about a man trying to reconcile with his family. It is about the about what's really important in Christmas. It's about sort of the idea of family over material wealth, which is put together in that conflict between John McClane and Hans Gruber, each focusing on the other side of it. And that's something that, even though it's a non-traditional pick for Christmas movie, has been something that has gravitated and a fan base specifically around Christmas. Now, if we're talking about it as a franchise, it absolutely is. I would argue that when the franchise lost its way is when it abandoned Christmas as the thematic holiday to celebrate.
So how many of the Die Hard movies are directly like Christmas time placed?
Only two.
Those poorly asked.
It's the first two of them. The first two.
So in my opinion, you can't call it a Christmas franchise because at this point, the majority of them are not Christmas movies.
That's true. And I'm definitely not arguing that Live Free or Die Hard is a Christmas movie. I'm talking about the first movie. The first movie is definitely a Christmas movie. And you can see Christmas in its DNA. Even in the third one, which takes place during the summer, John McClane still makes jokes about Santa Claus in it. There's something Christmassy about Die Hard that's in its very DNA.
But like, what kind of company makes their employees go to a Christmas party on Christmas Eve? That's terrible. Just saying.
That ain't Christmas.
It is terrible.
That's
it
not
is,
Christmas-y.
But no, they it, do supply it is the
terrible.
Cocaine.
It is terrible that that's happening.
Pretty
that's,
Scrooge-like, that's, if you ask me.
That's actually something that John McClane kind of stands against. If you remember the opening holiday party, he kind of comes in and asks about this party. And they say, they don't even say it's a Christmas party. They say it's, well, it's kind of a Christmas party, but we also did this like one really big deal. So they were not even thinking about it in terms of like Christmas yet. This is the issue that John McClane will have to rescue them from as he's saving them from the terrorists. And if
but
you
they,
look,
they, the 40 minutes in the middle of the movie where it's like John McClane trying to outsmart Hans, there's no mention of Christmas. I was listening.
Oh,
no Merry Christmas. No, nothing.
There
I was
are,
watching.
There are absolutely mentions of Christmas within that scene. You know, there is him writing, now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
From that point to like literally 20 minutes before the movie ends, there's nothing that says Chris. I just watched it last night.
Well, how about the part where the police are worried about shutting down the power because it's Christmas and people are going to lose the power of their house?
Yeah, that's like the end of the movie.
How about the moment at the end of the movie where he literally uses Christmas tape to tape the gun to his back to outsmart Hans Gruber?
Yeah,
how
you're saying my argument. I'm saying at the end of the movie and the beginning of the movie, it's Christmassy, and the whole middle is just a bunch of dudes crawling around on the floor doing explosive
They're
stuff.
Also crawling around in vents.
Yeah.
In vents on the roof.
Then Hans is like, shoot the glass. Yeah.
You know who also crawls around in vents and on the roof? Santa Claus. Santa Claus does that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. John McClane is the modern-day
Santa
Claus.
I don't think Santa Claus could fit in a vent.
I will say, at the end, there is kind of a real Miracle on 34th Street moment where the guy in the chopper is like, kill that guy right there. Shoot his ass. You know, like when they try to kill Santa in Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, my
or
God.
Your guy murders Santa?
Dylan, I tried. I think your movie's your out. Movie? I tried.
And your movie advocates drinking while pregnant, so I'm going to go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Your movie advocates a lot of stuff.
Doing
cocaine
at parties.
There's the one lady who's like, do you think the baby can handle a little sip? And Holly Gennaro doesn't say no. She goes, that baby's ready to burst. It's about to 10 bar. I'm like, that's like saying yes. Like, why are you telling a pregnant woman she should drink?
Because she's literally on the way to go do like a line with Ellis. And I guess in that regard, there really is snow.
So let's talk about this pregnant woman for a second. This is a pregnant woman in the middle of drastic hardship, not unlike the Virgin Mary.
Oh my God.
This is before the terrorists show up. This is not
going off the rails.
This is what Holly said
like
she can go out.
Virgin Mary.
Yes.
Okay. Mary,
also
know?
I will just say, if we're talking about a legacy, now I will say that Die Hard hasn't been a Broadway musical, but it has been a musical. It was there was a musical called Die Hard, a Christmas Musical that opened in Chicago last year.
We actually saw a version
One of our
here
friends.
In LA.
One of our friends in LA.
LA-based version.
It was really
awesome.
Bad.
How was it?
No, it wasn't bad. It was
bad good.
It was like bad good. They tried it on purpose, I think, to make it like hokey.
It was
very entertaining.
Really,
it was
the only misstep was there was a girl that had to sing a Die Hard version of All I Want for Christmas Is You, the Mariah Carey song. And she didn't quite have it. And in that song, you really need to have it.
Yeah.
And
you got to channel Mariah.
If you're going to if you're going to try to go after Mariah, you better fucking bring it.
Yeah.
So
that was just like how Albert Finney really should have been able to sing in Scrooge as well.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Wow, Dylan. I'm sorry. Was he Daddy Warbucks in Annie? Okay. I think he was.
We're getting away from it.
Getting off the music.
We're getting away from it.
We've covered music.
He's such a chameleon, you didn't even know.
I think it's safe to say that all of our movies have made a splash.
Yeah. So let's talk about real quick. And this doesn't necessarily mean it's a good movie or a bad movie, but let's talk about real quick if your movie borrowed from any other movies, just because I think it's kind of an interesting topic. And I know I'm not sure. Christmas Carol kind of spawns a lot of stuff. And so Die Hard maybe. But I know Santa Claus and Elf borrow from a lot. Sure. Like the scene where Buddy the Elf is on the bridge is taken directly from It's a Wonderful Life. Mm-hmm. The whole North Pole scene, all of North Pole is really directly influenced by
the Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. By the original claymation Rudolph movie, even to the point where the elf costumes are like exact replicas of the elf costumes that they wore in that movie. There's the claymation, like the narwhal and the little penguins and stuff are super cute. And then there's a reference to Gimbals. Like they go, like he works at Gimbals. Gimbals doesn't exist anymore, but that's a direct reference to Miracle on 34th Street.
Right.
Because Gimbals was a department store that was always in competition with Macy's, and they actually filmed at Macy's, but they just superimposed Gimbals on the outside, I think is kind of cool. And then, you know, it was made into a musical, as we talked about, but I really think the best one is a little throwback to a little movie, another great Christmas movie that Mike almost argued, which is Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Because
Santa Claus is in
next year
in Central Park, and he's like, oh, I'm getting too old for this. And I'm like, thank you, Lethal Weapon. Great Christmas movie. Nick wins. Cool. Good.
Okay. Well, the Santa Claus.
I'm sorry. Are you trying to argue that Lethal Weapon is a great Christmas movie, but Die Hard isn't?
Yeah, no, that's
I'm gonna do that next
contrarian.
Year.
Yeah. Mike was the one who wanted to argue Lethal Weapon, not
that's
me.
For next
year. Oh, so now you're backing up your own argument right there for Elf.
No.
He's just saying it's a nice shout out. Okay, guys. The Santa Claus definitely has ties to the past. It really kind of borrows in a lot of ways from The Miracle on 34th Street. It kind of puts a twist on it, but there's definitely a whole element of people not believing in Santa, people not believing that a certain person is Santa, and even Santa himself not believing in who he is until the very end. And there's shout outs in the end when Scott is being taken into custody and the community is kind of coming together and rallying around saying like, free Santa, let him go, which is directly pulled from, you know, The Miracle on 34th Street. And so it's kind of interesting how they really borrow a lot of that same heart and then put a little twist on it where the main character himself isn't quite sure of what he is and isn't quite sure how to proceed, which is kind of beautiful. It's a kind of a cool modern twist on it. That's, you know, I think lovely.
Have you guys seen Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah, man. I watched the remake with Richard Attenborough and Mike and I
were in it one time.
Yeah.
Play version of it. You haven't seen the original, so I don't know how well you can argue Christmas movies if you've never seen the version with Natalie Wood, but whatever.
I have seen the girl from Miss Doubtfire. That's all that matters. Boom. So I'm just saying they borrowed from the past and helped create culture for the future. Thing.
My movie didn't have to borrow from the past because it is the past, because it's the best Christmas story of all time. So
my movie is the past. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Goes to Christmas past.
All right, you guys. I think We've gotten fierce.
We have, man. Claws were out, guys. Sorry.
It's a cool thing that I'm really happy with the movies that we have in the semifinal, because they all have.
They're all really different.
Made a splash. They've all left their prints in the snow, as it were. You know, these are movies that some are older, some are newer, but they're all going to stick around, I think. There'll always be more Christmas carols. The Santa Claus is the movie of my childhood because I was a 90s kid. Elf is the movie of, you know, the 2000s kids. Die Hard, how many movies since Die Hard have happened have not borrowed from what Die Hard was? And that really helped modernize the action movie.
Oh, it literally coined the phrase Die Hard on a blank.
There. Yeah.
You know, so, Die Hard on a bus. Die Hard. Die Hard in the White House. Die Hard on a plane. No.
Yeah. Die Hard. So it's the reference point for all of those. Still not a Christmas movie, but a great movie. A great movie nonetheless. I don't think there's any denying that all these movies are strong contenders. So I don't think that we can really decide our finalists ourselves. Because it'd be a four-way vote. There'd be one vote for each movie.
We actually had discussions before. In the days coming up to this podcast, talking about like, okay, so because the quarterfinals, we did it for that reason, where it's like, no, we have a very objective way figure out, to keep it from just being a screaming match, but like this one needs to be more subjective. So we're like, how are we going to decide who goes on without just being like, no, but I should go on because I argued the best kind of thing.
So we're going to take it out of our hands and we're going to let our Patreon subscribers decide for us. So this is a great opportunity for you guys to jump in, to voice your opinion, and all we need is a $1 donation.
And I do want to thank the people who have already donated to our Patreon. Thank you so much.
And you guys are already qualified to vote, by the way.
Yeah, we will put a Patreon-only poll in our Patreon site.
And so with $1, you just commit $1 to an episode. That's like $4 a month, which is less than a cup of fancy coffee a month. I think we can all swing that.
Yeah.
You know, that's just like as many quarters as you find on the ground in a month in your house. I have a lot of quarters on the ground. That's all it takes. And then you can get to cast a vote and help shape this, because it's the only way it's going to get done. We'll bicker all week otherwise, and we just don't want to do that. So you go to the patreon.com/thebrothersmurph. You can find our page. There'll be a poll right there. You make your donation, you cast your vote, and then you get to help shape the future. We're going to have two finalists. Then we're going to have like a full on debate with opening statements, and it's going to be super fancy and fun. We'll all wear suits.
We're going to be talking about something completely different than what we talked about on this episode.
Absolutely. Yes.
Meaning of Christmas.
I thought we were talking about global warming.
Yeah. Well, that's because Christmas is going away because there's no more snow.
North Pole's disappearing.
Yeah,
guys.
And seriously, that's why the Santa Claus is. Okay. So if you guys go visit our Patreon and become a Patreon supporter, you get to help us shape our future, which is, I think, really fun. So thank you so much for that. And also check out our other forms of social media, because we're going to have a whole bunch of stuff
We'll post all the music that Dylan was hating on from Scrooge, and you can see the Albert Finney can sing.
He can.
We'll also post the entire movie because it's all on.
Yeah,
it's all on YouTube.
It's already linked on our website. The
okay,
whole
perfect.
Movie.
So. Okay, cool. So we'll throw that out there again. I think you know the only other thing you can do if you guys want to give us a really sweet Christmas present, that could be going to iTunes, going to your podcasting app, whatever you use. And giving us a review and subscribing to the show. If you give us a 5-star review, it'd be super duper helpful. It helps us show up and reach more people and newer listeners. We're building up little by little here, which is really great. So thank you guys so much for supporting. And if you guys don't mind letting us know what you like, letting us know what you think could be better, or a topic you'd like to see us do, whatever it is, we'd love to hear from you guys. So go check us out on iTunes or again on whatever app you use. On a mobile device or computer to listen to our podcast, you can give us a rating there. So thank you so much for that. And I guess...
And just, you can find a link to the Patreon on our website for our podcast, which is in the show notes if you're on your phone. Or just go to Patreon and type in the Brothers Murph. Just putting that there.
You'll find us there. Anything else, guys?
I think we got a pop quiz.
Oh my God, yes!
We have a pop quiz to do.
Per usual... It's the Christmas pop quiz.
It's the Christmas pop quiz.
It's the Christmas
okay. Pop so we're going to do a similar thing that we've done the last 2 weeks. We're going to do a round robin edition since we have four hosts, four experts, as it were. I guess I'll start this time. So I'm going to be doing another bit of trivia. This won't be the same question, but this is about the Santa Claus. So guys, in November of 1994, the Santa Claus came out and it was the number one movie. Boom. So for a week... Tim Allen had the number one movie in the nation with The Santa Claus. He had the number one show with Home Improvement. And he had the number one best-selling book. What was the name of his book?
Shoot, I know this.
I don't know this.
I feel like it's something with naked in the title.
Yeah, me too.
Like a man standing naked with a toolkit.
Okay, that's Casey's. Nick?
Oh, Cocaine in Me, a Tim Allen story.
Yeah. Dylan, Merry Christmas.
It's how you go real dark with it.
Yeah. The Blizzard.
And it's like Getting Naked with Tim Allen.
Damn, that'd be a good book. You guys are very close. It's Don't Stand Too Close to a Naked Man.
Was his book.
So he had the trifecta. That's how much juice he had in the 90s, you guys. That's how much juice that guy had.
We used to watch Home Improvement every day.
So that's my pop quiz question.
Cool. Casey.
Okay. Mine is literary, because I'm going back to A Christmas Carol for the question. A Christmas Carol, when Dickens wrote it, was based on a number of things, his childhood, but also he based a lot on a work by a very famous American author about 20 years earlier. And, who was that author?
When did it come out? 1840?
Oh God.
American author.
Dan Brown?
I can give you a hint, kind of, about the author.
Sure.
Okay.
He wrote a story that is now often played around Halloween as well.
That doesn't help.
Because the timeline, I don't know.
Mark Twain. The guy who wrote Sleepy Hollow. What's his name?
Ichabod Crane.
Washington Irving.
Yeah, Dylan's right.
Damn it.
Yes.
I was you didn't Washington. Give me a chance to answer. I might have gotten that.
Damn, bro.
Were you going to say Washington Irving?
Maybe. Damn it.
Yeah, awesome. Point for Dylan.
All right. Way to go, Dylan. Cool.
Yeah, all right. I knew all the people I could think of were later, so.
All right. So, So, Elf is directed by a beautiful man named John Favreau. John Favreau.
John
Wonderful
Favreau.
Guy. Great actor. Great director. Overall, seems like a cool dude. Okay, so John Favreau is in the movie. He plays like the doctor, like James Caan's doctor.
Yeah.
Where Buddy keeps eating all the cotton balls, which was just undyed cotton candy, by the way.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. It's just undyed cotton candy. So he voices two other characters in that movie.
Oh, God.
Who do you think he voices? Oh. There's a number of like little animated characters and stuff like that. Who do you think he voices?
Mr. Narwhal.
Yeah, that's my guess. I'm gonna say and the troll, the little poopy troll guy.
Okay.
Dylan? Doesn't he, like, when he walks out, doesn't he see, like, a reindeer or something? I'm forgetting who the animals are in Elf.
There's, like, a penguin.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the penguin. Grouping.
Okay, so it is Mr. Narwhal.
Yay! Yeah.
Narwhal, and then the rabid raccoon. That attacks him.
That's awesome.
That's also John Favreau.
Damn, Narwhal, right on. All right, Dylan, what about you? You got some trivia?
Good luck yeah. your family. So, bye, buddy. Originally, the script for Die Hard was supposed to take place over 3 days.
Oh God!
Yeah, but
just stuck in the vent for the other 2 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
out. Just freaking out. Just singing with a lighter, like all by
myself.
Bam, bam, bam.
So it would carry him through Christmas Day. But John McTiernan ordered it to be condensed to one night after watching what classic play?
What classic play?
Yeah.
Oh God.
It happened one night.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
12th night.
Night at the Roxbury.
Nick is closest. It was A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Damn.
Oh.
Yeah.
That actually makes sense.
You know, when you see Midsummer, you really think Die Hard.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. I think that Die Hard is the inheritor to Shakespeare's legacy. And that comes forward in.
I think Puck is essentially Carl. Trivia.
Yeah, still not a Christmas honest. Movie.
So Dylan and I tie. Yay.
Fair enough.
I would have said Washington Irving.
Yeah, you just didn't believe in it.
I don't like this. Everyone, I feel like this pop quiz is against me personally.
It definitely is, Nick. You should probably boycott. Nick won't be there for the final. He's boycotting. He's just in the background. He's like, no! No!
No!
Like, Nick, literally, Elf is one of the movies. Boo! Now! Okay. Man, I don't even know where we go from here, guys. But we're gonna have a final, and it's gonna be amazing. And it's gonna get beautiful. We're gonna cry. We're gonna talk about the deepness, the deepish, right there. I mean, the realness. Okay, the true meaning of Christmas and how your movie embodies those ideals. And then we're gonna try to tear each other apart. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be perfect, perfectly in keeping with all the themes of Christmas, of tension and drama.
It's gonna be deep.
You know. There'll be like one racist old person in the corner.
One could say it's going to be Jingle Balls Deep.
You son of a bitch. Silent night. Okay. Jingle Balls Deep. That is going to live on forever on the internet. You know that things on the internet do not disappear.
It popped my head. I could not.
Someone in 2143 is going to hear that and just go.
That's the end of civilization.
Jingle Balls Deep. Okay, well, on that note.
Don't keep repeating it.
Thank you guys for listening. Merry Christmas.
Happy
Merry Hanukkah. Merry lead up to Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays.
I am never going to be able to listen to that song again.
Good. Dude, Nick's like, man, you guys listen to Jingle Balls and just get just aroused?
Oh my God, stop. Me going.
Anyway, okay, we're falling off the rails. I love you guys. Keep enjoying this fine December we have going on. For now, I have been very merry, Michael Lehman.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
Dylan White, Die Hard's still a Christmas movie. Hell yeah.
No, it's not. And we are imploring you all to stay festive.
And
faster.